Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Comedy Show. I'm the creator and host of the show, and my name is Paul Salerno. Today is Wednesday, September 16th, and this is another edition of Talk Radio. I'd like to remind everybody that I'm recording Talk Radio 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can catch all the action on demand on the Buzzsprout Network and its major affiliates. The next episode with a feature story will be out soon, and it's called Spending a Day at the Sportsbook, so keep an eye out for that. The show is recorded live at Studio 28, which is the home of the Sports Comedy Show and is in Las Vegas. Also, you can keep up with the show on the website, sportscomedyshow.net. I just added a NFL page or a football page, and I'll be updating that weekly with some of the funny highlights throughout the week. So something that I look forward to. And again, that's sportscomedyshow.net. Okay, in today's edition of Talk Radio, the theme is going to be the Golden Knights. So after I do recap, I'm going to talk about them and pay tribute to what a fine season the Golden Knights had. So let's get started with sports recap and see what's going on in the world of sports. Well, the biggest story of the day comes from the NBA. So we'll start there. And that was, we had a Game 7 last night with Denver and the Clippers. And to everybody's surprise, including mine, Denver came back. Denver came back and won the game 104-89. They took it over in the fourth quarter as the Clippers just simply fell apart. Kawhi Leonard did not have a good game. Paul George did not have a good series or playoffs for that matter. But the Nuggets did, and they came back. And they were down 3-1 in this series, and this is why you play them. Everybody expected the Clippers to move on, but it's not to be. The Nuggets were just too strong. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double. Jamal Murray hit 40 points. And the Clippers didn't have an answer. And Doc Rivers was there on the bench beside himself. There wasn't much he could do. So that the Clips fell flat in the fourth quarter. And, it was clear with about 7 or 8 minutes left in the game when they were down by 20 that it was going to be a Denver Nugget route, as it was. And unfortunately now, moving forward, everybody was hoping for a Clipper-Laker semifinal. Well, it's not going to happen. The Nuggets are going to be there, so it's going to be the Nuggets and the Lakers in the semis. And the season comes to the end for the Clippers. Is it any wonder I call them the Slippers? Interesting enough, I did think that they were going to go to the semifinals. I didn't think they'd get past the Lakers. I thought Kawhi Leonard would be the difference, but he's human. He didn't have a good game, and it showed. And you got to give it up to the Nuggets because they did. And Jamal Murray, they hit 40 points, and triple-double by Jokic is huge. So they move on. Congratulations to them. And then in the East, Game 1 of the semifinals, the semifinals finally got started. Game 1 was Miami and the Celtics, and Miami comes up with the 117-114 overtime win. Exciting game. Went down. They went back and forth a few times here. I think it's going to be an exciting series. I think Miami has just been the biggest story of the NBA bubble season or the playoffs, or I think they've just been the best story since the bubble, I guess what I'm trying to say here. And I think they're going to outlast the Celtics. These games, though, I think will have a way of going down to the end, and the Celtics may win one or two, but I think the Heat is just incredible. And I'm excited for them, and Jimmy Butler and the boys are playing strong ball, so good for them, and let's enjoy that one. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about baseball. as I've been mentioning, pretty soon Pennant fever is going to start to heat up. Also, I mentioned, you know, we have all sports going simultaneously. So it's kind of hard with everything going. Baseball has been pushed to the side. But I always take a couple minutes just to touch on it, just because baseball, well, it used to be the pastime. You know, I think football's the pastime. But nonetheless, let's just kind of run through one or two things here in baseball. There is a story breaking right now as I'm recording the show, and it appears that Steve Cohen buys the Mets from the Wilpon family for an incredible $2.4 billion. When did a sports franchise become worth $2.4 billion, let alone the Mets? Well, in reality, the Mets are in New York, which is the biggest media market in the country. So that's where the big price tag comes from. So incredible as that is. I guess some of the story, for those who may have been following it, or if not, A-Rod and J-Lo have been bidding. They were in the mix to try to, they put together a group and they wanted to try to buy the team. I would have loved to have seen it because, you know, everybody loves a celebrity, and J-Lo is a Bronx girl, and A-Rod playing in New York, it would have been great for them. And from what details I did pick up on this was they actually got the city involved, and they were going to the communities, and they were going to do a lot of charity work and stuff like that. But it didn't happen. Steve Cohen group came together with the bigger bid. They outbidded him. Apparently now the sale is pending 23 of the 30 league's owners. So if that gets approved, then we will have a new owner for the Mets. From what I'm hearing, Mets fans want to see it because Wilpon family, from the Mets fans saying, they're not paying the big bucks for the free agent names, and they want to see more money pumped into the team. We'll see how that all plays out. Getting into the sport itself or what's going on now, we're at about the 50-game mark. Remember, it's only a 60-game season, so we're coming down to the final stretch. A team that's making the most noise lately is the Chi Sox. The Chi Sox in the American League in their last 10 games are 9-1. They have a 32-16 record, which is the best in the American League. And they were in a three-team dogfight in the AL Central with Minnesota and Cleveland, but they've kind of run away with that now. And it looks like the Chi Sox are going to take the AL West, or the AL Central, I'm sorry, as we go down the stretch. The other story there still, if you look at the National League, Dodgers still are the best team in the National League and overall, 34-15. They're just playing 500 ball now. Their last 10 games, they're 5-5. And I won't say they can coast through these last 10 games because the Pods are still on their tail, but they're 2.5 back. But as you get close to try to overcome a 2.5, 3 or 4 game lead with only 10 left, it's awfully hard to do. So I look for the Dodgers still to have the best record in baseball, and they'll take the West. And then the playoffs are going to get going. And, you know, it's an 18 per league playoff system. They mentioned that it's going to be in their bubble, which I talked about in the last show. The National League is going to be in Texas. The American League is going to be in San Diego. So excitement coming up from there, we'll see what goes on with baseball. Let's take a quick look at tennis. You know, we just had the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is behind us. They quickly go right into the Italian Open. And so the women's side are already down to the round of 32. As the men are just finishing up their qualifying round. Some of the big news here is Rafael Nadal is back on the men's side, and so is one of my personal favorites, Kiki Bertens, on the women's side. The Joker, on the other hand, he looks to redeem himself after what he did in the last tournament, you know, just nonchalantly pegging a line judge in the face with a ball. One of those things. It just happens. One of the big stories here in this tournament that's already going, it is in Italy, is Italy's local boy, Lorenzo Musetti, an 18-year-old kid. He stuns Stan the Man Wawrinka in the first round, and the kid looks good. He's only 18. We'll keep an eye on him and see where this goes. Other news worth mentioning in regarding the Italian Open is Naomi Osaka and Dominic Thiem passed on the Italian Open. They just won their majors last week in the U.S. Open. I kind of thought that they'd be here because, you know, the Italian is not a Grand Slam tournament. However, it's probably the next biggest thing to the Grand Slam. However, because they won a Grand Slam, they're going to hold off, and we'll see them later. We'll see them as the next Grand Slam pops up. Also, Roger Federer and Serena also passed on the Italian Open as well. I will make my tennis prediction because I do love tennis, and I'm going to predict on the women's side. I'm going to go with the same person I picked with at the U.S. Open, and that was Sofia Kenin. No, she didn't win. She lost in the quarterfinal rounds. I still think she's on the rise, and I still think she's one of the better tennis players out there in the women's, so I'm going to stick with Sofia. And on the men's side, it'll be interesting because we've got Rafa back, but the Joker looking to redeem himself. I'm going to go with Rafa. The Italian Open is played on clay, and that's Rafa. I mean, Rafa he's just a clay master. You know, Rafa was born on clay. He lives in clay. And when it comes to clay, he is the clay king. Maybe in Spain they got better dirt. I don't know. But I'm going to go with Rafael Nadal, when I say Rafa, to take down the men's version of the Italian Open. All right, let's take a look at the NHL. Big game last night. Islanders hold on with a 2-1 victory in Game 5 over the Dallas Stars. That was a tongue twister there for me, but I got it all out, thankfully. And they, you know, they hold off from elimination. So the the Lightning were looking to close them out. It didn't happen. And it's been a Lightning series. You know, as I mentioned on the last podcast, going into this game, the Lightning had dominated this series. They outscored them 27-7. However, I also mentioned, and as I mentioned throughout on my podcast, when it comes to playoffs and you get deep, defense is what wins championships. So the Islanders finally had a big game on the defensive side. Vermilov came up big in the nets with only allowing one goal. And this was a Islander style of game. I watched the game. It was fun to watch. They were able to keep Tampa's offense to a minimal. And Tampa, I mean, they've got sharpshooters. They shoot this puck 100 miles an hour and find these little holes for goals. But it did not happen last night. And so now we go to a game 6. And if the Islanders are going to still contend, they were my pick, and I'm still rooting for them. So I'm still standing behind the Islanders, but Tampa Bay is just so strong. But if the Islanders are going to contend, they're going to have to continue with the solid defense. They're going to have to shut down that production on the Tampa Bay side and play a hard physical game and keep the low-scoring game. That's the only thing that's going to favor the Islanders if they can get this team to go to the 7th game. The other big news in hockey was on Monday, the Stars beated the Golden Knights 3-2. And when they did that, the Stars became the first team in a bubble environment to advance to the finals. So the Dallas Stars will be going to the Stanley Cup Finals. They haven't been there in 20 years, but they are going back. Incredible win for them. Incredible series. They shut down the Golden Knights as they won the series 4-1. The big story was Khudobin. You know, in 5 games, he only gave up 8 goals. Plus, he had a shutout. And to shut down a good offensive team like the Knights for only giving up 8 goals in 5 games, it was clearly the difference. So, congratulations to the Dallas Stars. First team in the bubble to make the finals, and they are now in the Stanley Cup. And they'll be awaiting the victors of the Islander Lightning Series, and we'll see what happens there. So, Stars moving on. Unfortunately, the Golden Knights season came to an end. And because of that, again, the show is recorded here in Las Vegas, so I get a lot of the local Golden Knights fans and vibe and everything that's going on. But because their season came to an end, I decided to make the theme of today's show the Golden Knights. And what I'm going to do here for the next couple minutes, I'm going to pay tribute to the Golden Knights. Yes, they lost, but they did make it to the semifinals in the Western Conference. You know, there's 15 other teams that can't say that. So it was a good year for the Golden Knights. So some of the things that happened, you know, they were first place in the Pacific Division with 86 points. They were also the number one seed in the playoffs. So it was a good year. And even though they've lost, they can't hang their heads low. But let's give them a hell of a, you know, let's give them a round of applause for a great year. So I'm going to kind of go over a few things here as I pay tribute to them. You know, the thing that I like about the Golden Knights is their style of hockey is a little bit different than everybody else, and it was pretty incredible. One of the things that they did extremely well, if not probably maybe the best in all of hockey, was their forechecking. So when they were forechecking, it broke up their opponent's ability to set up down in the offensive ring. So their forechecking kind of led to their defense. And, you know, if you look at their defense, Shea Theodore, Alex Martinez, Brandon McNabb, you know, they're all big names there on the defensive end. From the defense, they gave up 209 goals, which ranked them 13th overall, which isn't bad by any means. The Golden Knights are a balanced team. Their defense is good. Their offense is strong. They're not one of these one-minded teams like in the East where you have a bunch of defense or a team even like Tampa, even though they're in the East. They're all offense. It's a balanced mix. So their defense had a good year, and it all started with their forechecking by allowing their opponents not to get going and set up in the other end of the ring. Let's look at their offense. The offense was incredible. They had a big production year. You know, they had 224 goals, which was 9th overall for the year. And that's big production. The thing that I love the best about their offense is they did something that you haven't seen since the Wayne Gretzky era of hockey. And that is they love to operate from behind the net. And they did it in a fine fashion. Whenever they got the puck down in the offensive zone, and especially if they were on a power play, they worked that puck, and it wasn't just your normal outside passing to your defenders and your wings, is they would find somebody behind the net to try to establish a play. And something else that they did that was real incredible, and maybe even the best in the league as well, was their ability to shoot off the pass was better than nobody else's. You know, when they moved that puck around, when it would come out to the defensive men, these guys were winding up and taking one-timers that were incredible. And people don't realize how hard that is. Yes, they're professionals, so they're expected to, but they did it extremely well, and it made their offensive brand of hockey extremely exciting. So I think that was the big part of the season, was their offense. You know, the Stone, Carlson, and Pacioretty line was their number one line. It was big production. It was fun to watch. Pacioretty led the team with 66 points and 32 goals. Mark Stone had 63 points, 21 goals. Riley Smith with 54 points and 27 goals. All big production. Plus, Marchessault, Carlson, and Theodore were all in the 40 ranges as far as total points. So when you've got five or six players up that high in the production range, that shows you that you've got a solid team. And that's what they had all year. Incredible production from the whole team. Kind of a bummer it comes to an end, but I just wanted to pay tribute and kind of go over a few of those things. Let's talk, there's another part to talk about is the goaltending. Now, keep in mind that that they did have, about halfway through the season, Subban moved on. I believe he got traded. And when that happened, that kind of, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury took the show over. And Marc-Andre Fleury had a good year with his GAA was 2.7. Then the other big news is the season came towards the end, and then also in the playoff was Leonard. Leonard became a strong goaltender for the Golden Knights. Now it looked like they had two netminder team as they were starting to go into the playoffs, which is a good thing. However, unfortunately, in this situation, I think this might have been the demise because of the contract scenario with Fleury. They wanted to, you know, bring Lennar up, showcase him, and kind of give them leverage as the team might have been looking forward. And that was a lot of discussion as they were going down the stretch. And I kind of caught that, and I held it in my head going, you know, that's what's going on, but that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing, because as you start to get through the playoffs, and I've mentioned this a few times, is you need to have one clear goaltender. As you get to the quarterfinals, semifinals, and even to the cup, it's the goaltending that's going to get you there. And the perfect example is look at Dallas. Khudobin was solid, and he got them there. And the Knights didn't have a clear one number one goalie. They kept going back and forth, and their goaltending wasn't bad, but the controversy became clear. Well, we're thinking of the future. No, you do not do that when you're late in the playoffs. You do your best. You stay focused on what's going on. I think that might have been the demise. That was the only thing that kind of bummed me out a little bit. You know, also other news during the season, you know, they did have a coaching change. Gallant was out. They brought in Peter DeBoer, so he took over about halfway through the season, and he had an impressive pass. I think that's why they brought him in. He took the Sharks and the Devils both to the Stanley Cup Finals. He spent a couple years with both of those teams. He even was a coach of the Florida Panther for a while. So they brought in an impressive name. But when you start to change coaches in the middle of the year, most teams don't do it unless they're having a terrible beginning of the year. That wasn't the case with the Knights, so I'm not sure what the backstory was. But they brought in Peter DeBoer, and he did a great job. He brought him forward. But the only thing I'm going to hang on him was the goalie controversy towards the end. But nonetheless, so let's move on. Let's pay tribute. It was a great season. The Golden Knights. They make it to the semifinal round in their conference, and they won't be going to the Stanley Cup. They've been there before. They certainly have a good team, and I think most of these guys will be back next year. I want to congratulate them all on a great year. Hang your head high, Golden Knights. Don't be discouraged, the city of Las Vegas. It was a good year, and I just wanted to pay tribute to them, as I just did. Okay, we've come to the end of the show. And since it's the sports comedy show, I'm going to end it like this. Well, hopefully some of the Golden Knights will get wind of my tribute to them and enjoy the show. Hopefully ESPN will get wind of the show and add it to their lineup. Hopefully all my predictions on the show come through so I look like a genius. Hopefully, I win the lottery so I can get the necessary financing I need to make the show go mainstream. Unfortunately, a few of these things probably won't happen, at least for now. However, the show must go on, and I'll see you Friday for another edition of Talk Radio on the Sports Comedy Show. Have a good day.